Can I invite you to turn to John chapter 11 in the Pew Bible? Page 1078 of the Pew Bible. And we'll be looking through that together. Well, we've already reminded ourselves of the background. Lazarus, this close friend of Jesus, with his two sisters, Mary and Martha, have a crisis. Lazarus becomes ill and dies. They had sent word for Jesus, and he arrives some days after Lazarus dies. He's met at Bethany by Martha. Martha, who in the midst of her grief cries out, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you had been here, Lazarus would not have died." Hard words to hear for Jesus. Martha then goes back home, and Mary comes out to meet Jesus. And Mary meets him and says exactly the same thing. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Hard things to hear for Jesus. And it's not even just the sisters. You can imagine their grief, their anguish. It's not even just the sisters. This whole crowd of mourners, John tells us that Jews had come from Jerusalem to surround this mourning family. And they also have this question. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Lord, if you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Hard things for Jesus to hear. Maybe you've heard words like that, you know, if you had been here, things might have been different. If you had been there, things might have been different. And it's hard to hear. So what is going on? Did Jesus simply miss out on what was happening? Maybe Jesus just lost sight of the pain of these close friends of his. And yet it doesn't seem so. Even to set aside any divine foreknowledge that Jesus had of that situation, the sisters sent word to Jesus, verse 3 of this chapter 11. The sisters sent word to Jesus, and they simply say, "Lord, the one you love is sick." So Jesus knew what was happening. He hadn't lost sight of it. He hadn't forgotten about it. He hadn't overlooked it in some way. Jesus knew what was happening. Maybe Jesus just didn't care. John records that when he heard the one whom he loved was sick, John simply says Jesus stayed where he was 2 more days. But that's not right either. Verse 5, John records simply, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Jesus obviously did care very much. So it wasn't that he had overlooked the situation with Lazarus. It wasn't that he was somehow hard-hearted and didn't care what was going on. John makes it clear that neither of those could be the case. Obviously, something else was going on. Mary, Martha, the crowd of mourners thought that they knew what the answer should be to this dreadful situation. And when it didn't happen the way they expected it to happen, they simply make this observation, if you had been here, things would have been different. If you had been here, Lazarus would not have died. But Jesus has a bigger agenda. Jesus has a bigger picture, a bigger goal. It's not about Lazarus. It's not about Mary. It's not about Martha. It's not about the crowd of mourners. It's about God and his glory. And if you go back to verse 4 of this chapter, you can see that. Jesus hears about Lazarus being sick and simply says this, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." What's Jesus' agenda? It is God and his glory. It's not just about Lazarus and his family and his friends. It's about God and his glory. I don't know how many people memorize the catechism, the shorter catechism. I know there are a few. How many people do you reckon could get past the first one? We can probably get the first one. Man's chief end is to... That's the one I want you to remember. Man's chief end, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's what Jesus was doing. Not just to know in our heads that God is to be glorified, but to know in our hearts that he is to be glorified in everything. Mary and Martha probably knew this in their heads. And yet they had a much smaller goal in sight. They just wanted to keep Lazarus well. Nothing more. Nothing bigger. We would do well to remember that it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God and his glory. And when we do go through difficult, painful episodes in our lives, which we will, the temptation is to look at ourselves, is to spiral down into some sort of self-pity where everything becomes about me and my problem. And the reality is, it's for God and his glory. But it is difficult. This is the Jesus who doesn't keep distant. Is not aloof from his friends, from those who are going through hard times. This is the Jesus who's deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And then that lovely verse. If you have to memorize scripture, this is the verse to memorize because it's only two words. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. This is the God whom we worship, the God who comes alongside and who weeps. Tears roll down his cheeks, just as they do yours and mine. Why is Jesus deeply moved? The original word speaks of almost an anger in Jesus as well. Why is he deeply moved? Why does he shed tears? Well, it could be because of Mary's distress and Martha's distress. These are his friends. They're heartbroken. Why wouldn't he be upset? It could be because of their apparent lack of faith. It could be because this whole situation would move him towards his own death. It could be because he is confronting the consequences of sin and evil as he sees the grave of his friend Lazarus. It could be any or all of these things that move Jesus. But here's the important thing. In the midst of their pain, in the midst of their hurt, in the midst of their tears, they find Jesus there with them. In their darkest moment, Jesus is there with them. Somehow in the midst of it all, God is glorified. Jesus is there. Just as he is in a Turkish mining city, devastated by disaster. Just as he is in villages in northeastern Nigeria where families live in anguish and when their imagination runs riot, Jesus is there. Just as he draws close to you when your heart is broken. Just as he draws close to you in those sleepless nights, Jesus is there. That's his promise. I am with you always. I will never leave you, never forsake you. In our darkest moments, in the depth of our own pain and suffering, Jesus comes and shares in that pain and suffering. This is one of the remarkable truths of the gospel, that God in Jesus Christ is part of our pain and our suffering, takes onto himself our pain and our suffering, and overcomes. Whatever it is you're going through, the promise of Jesus is that he is right there with you. Not only knowing what you go through, but sharing in that pain, that hardship. It's one of the great truths of the gospel that Jesus is there for you. He's there for you in those dark moments. But you don't have to wait until then. You don't have to wait until that dark moment. You don't have to wait until that heartbreak. You don't have to wait until that pain comes. Mary looks at Jesus and says, you know, even now you can change this situation. I believe that my brother Lazarus will rise on the last day. And Jesus looks at her and says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, and even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. That's the promise of Jesus. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. But we don't have to wait until then. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. This is the promise of Jesus. It's not something that will happen away out then, someday, sometime. It's the offer of Jesus here and now. I am the resurrection and the life. In the midst of your pain, in the midst of your heartbreak, I'm there for you. I'm there with you. I'm the resurrection and the life. Jesus confirms this to Mary, and then he looks into her tear-stained eyes and says, Mary, do you believe this? What a question. This morning, as Jesus draws alongside you, as Jesus looks into your eyes, as Jesus peers into the darkness of whatever you're going through, he asks the same question. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? You really believe this? The gift of eternal life, not sometime in the future, here and now, as we take Jesus at his word. Do you believe this? There are times I'm sure there have been times, there will be times when we will think in our heads, Lord, if only you had been here, things would have been different. The promise of Jesus is, I'm here. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me, though he die, will never die. That's his promise. Not only his promise, it can be your experience, my experience today, as we trust in him, the one who is beside us in our darkest moments. Shall we pray together? Lord, thank you for your promise to us. Thank you, Lord, that you have spoken to us. Thank you that you know us and all that we go through. Lord, help us not only to know in our heads that you are the resurrection and the life, but to know in our hearts the truth of this statement. And may we live confident in that truth, confident in our experience of your unfailing love for us. And to you be all honor and glory this day and always.